It's coming up on 12 noon. That means it's time for Live and Local, your connection to local performances. Coming up, we'll have a conversation with Stephen Fiol and Ronald Hedlund. They are director and narrator, respectively, for the Danville Symphony Orchestra's production this week called Carmen to Camelot, featuring the most well-known and best-loved, some of the best-loved selections from the opera Carmen by Georges Bizet, and also several musicals by Lerner and Lowe. The concert will be Saturday at 7:30 in the Danville High School Auditorium. That concert will feature a number of faculty and especially students from the School of Music vocal program at the University of Illinois. That'll be coming up later in the hour. First, though, I'll be talking with David Red Lair, who is the sousaphone player for and the leader of a Dixieland band called the St. Louis Rivermen. They're going to be performing at Lincoln College in Lincoln, Illinois, tomorrow night from 7 to 9. And we get a bit of interesting history about Dixieland bands on riverboats and more. Here are the St. Louis Rivermen, a clip from a tune called Swing That Music. My next guest on Live and Local is Red Lair, who is leader currently of the St. Louis Rivermen. He's also one of the founding members, full name David Lair, and goes by Red. And he's the sousaphonist in the band as well as the leader. And they're going to be playing tomorrow evening at Lincoln College for a show that starts at 7 o'clock, along with Noel Koletsky and Jim Mayhack?
Yes.
Is that how you say that?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for joining me on the show.
You bet.
So tell me about the St. Louis Rivermen. Do you actually play on the river?
We did. We were on a floating restaurant called the Robert E. Lee, which was right on the riverfront for almost 13 and a half years.
And that was
in St. Louis.
How you got going?
Yeah. Well, we started way back in the late 60s and early 70s. And actually, a young lady at them days by the name of Jean Cottrell was a college professor, and she's the one that got the band going. And then it was booked as Jean Cottrell and the St. Louis Rivermen for many years. And finally, old age caught up with Jean, and she was forced to retire. So now it's just the St. Louis Rivermen, and my wife and myself took it over, and we manage it now.
So the band is a septet plus you, or counting you?
No, a sextet plus me.
And that means septet overall, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, there's seven of us. It's a seven-piece Dixieland band, which has a drummer, banjo, sousaphone, clarinet, cornet, and piano, and drums.
So you said for part of that time you played on the Robert E. Lee. What point was that in your history?
That was at the end of the era when the riverboats were still in existence down on the riverfront, and we played there up until the mid '80s.
So, are there no more riverboats running at all?
No more music on the riverfront. No. In fact, there's not a working Dixieland band in St. Louis anymore.
Really?
No. And we started out where the whole thing originated. Was out in a place called Gaslight Square back in the 60s, and they were probably, being very, very, very conservative, there were probably 25 nightclubs and cabarets out in Gaslight Square that had live Dixieland music at one time.
What happened to them?
They just started folding up one at a time, and it just got less and less and less, and then there was a homicide out there, and after that it just stopped, period.
Or and elsewhere in St. Louis, there's not that much demand
no,
for it
the
anymore?
No, the only thing that is live right now and does real well is a club called the St. Louis Jazz Club. And they meet one Sunday a month, and they have bands come in from all over the country, and they have a concert like from 2 to 5 on Sunday afternoons, one Sunday a month, and they have them in different places, Doubletree Hotel or wherever they might be able to find a place to have the concerts, and it's very, very active. But that's the only live Dixieland music right now in St. Louis.
Wow, that seems sort of tragic for one of the centers
does.
Of that kind
yeah.
of music.
That's why we have to travel so much to go literally all over the world to play our kind of music.
Well, that was going to be my next question, is whether you've got a regular gig or is it all travel at this point?
It's all travel.
So how often do you play?
Well, last year I think we made about 10 or 12 festivals out of state, California and Olympia, Washington. And, we were in Florida and we were in Arizona. And we go in on a Thursday and do these festivals. And they usually run from Thursday to Sunday afternoon. And then we also do some cruises for Holland Cruise Lines. We're going to be going to Alaska on one, I think about the first week of August, and that one sold out. And that's the Dixieland Jazz Cruise. But we have went further. We've been to Europe several times, in France and Germany and Scotland and Japan, and we've done a few concerts with the director of the the Boston Pops Symphony, Richard Heyman, over in Honolulu at the symphony, with the symphony over there, and also with the St. Louis Symphony. So we've been pretty busy over the years.
Tell me a little bit about what it was like to be in the Rivermen before all the Dixieland clubs dried up.
Well, we were quite busy, and we also played at the St. Louis ballpark. We'd do all the Saturday afternoon games and all the Sunday games, and it was live music, you know, we used a five piece band on there. Our band is actually a seven piece band, but if there's something that comes up and they don't want all the pieces, then we can condense down to five. We never like to go any less than five, and we kind of be flexible that way between five and seven. So we worked at the ballpark for many years, and then they put an organ in there, and naturally now there's no live music at all. So it's just an era that's gone by.
So in the good old days, how often would you play in a week?
Well, there was probably times where I may have as many as three jobs in one Saturday. You know, something in the morning and then something afternoon, and we'd go to the Robert E. Lee and play another gig that night, or go to the ballpark first and play a gig, then go to the Robert E. Lee, and then in a couple of other nightclubs we worked at. So we were quite busy.
I noticed in looking at your own biography that you've had occasion as a sousaphonist to come and play in two of our communities, Champaign, Illinois, and Bloomington, Illinois.
Right, and we also do a jazz festival in Decatur every year.
What brought you personally to these, I guess it says here, regional and national conferences of brass instruments?
Well, they just invite me to come in and do my thing, you know. I have a very good friend in the St. Louis Symphony. His name is Gene Picarney. He's the tuba He's a tubist in the St. Louis Symphony, and he and I have been friends. He played in St. Louis, here in the St. Louis Symphony for quite a few years, and I met him on the Robert E. Lee, and then he moved up, and he's playing for Chicago now at the Symphony there, and through him, he's the one that had me invited to go to these brass symposiums and play Dixieland jazz music for him, which I don't get to hear every day, you know.
Your own background's kind of interesting as well. Farmer, butcher.
Yeah.
Real estate.
A little everything.
Sharpshooter.
Well, yeah.
Tell me about that.
That was my younger days. Well, I've always hunted and been into the sportsman into the thing, you know. And I used to go around to the old-fashioned homecomings they used to have and picnics and do some trick shooting back years ago. That's where that came from. But old age is taking care of that now, and I don't do that anymore.
When did you start playing tuba? Sousaphone, sorry.
When I was 13 years old. I'm 74 now.
So that's a career of 60-plus years.
Yeah.
That's pretty good going.
It is, yeah, for a farm boy from Illinois, coming from a town of 1,900 people. I've been all over the world and have enjoyed every minute of it. I really have. And my wife's my most avid fan. She loves music and she loves to travel, so it worked out just fine. We've had several trips to Europe. We went one time for a month and stayed over there and played every day in a different city.
Is she a musician as well?
No, my wife is a great piano player, but she won't play in front of people. She just plays for me.
Well, then you get your own private concert, don't you?
You betcha. I have my own private conference whenever I want it.
I'm talking with David Red Lair, who is a sousaphonist with and leader of the St. Louis Rivermen, who are going to be in Lincoln at Lincoln College tomorrow evening. And I noticed that when I'm looking at the personnel list on your website for the St. Louis Rivermen, I count at least 12 people. Are they folks who are involved in these other bands as well that you're involved with?
Right. We have to use substitutes once in a while because the original players in my band were really spread out. My clarinet player is from up in Connecticut, and my trombone player is from Sacramento, California, and my piano player is from Phoenix, Arizona, and sometimes the jobs just don't merit flying everybody in at one time, so I have other guys to help out in the band, which are local players.
Well, no, that really does raise another question, which is how on earth did you find these people? Is there a big...
I meet them at festivals.
Okay.
Yeah. We might go to California and play at a festival, and I'll hear somebody play it. I'll walk up to him and say, are you working steady? He said, no. Why? What do you got in mind? I said, I like the way you play. How would you like to be in the Rivermen? Well, I got time for it when I could make it, and there I got a trombone player.
You said that you referred to the former leader, Gene Kittrell, as old age catching up to her, and you used the same phrase in reference to yourself. Are most of the guys in the band older fellows?
Yeah,
and I noticed
really,
there's some women,
really
too.
They really are. The age group in our band would probably be 70-ish or a little better. But for their age, they play great. They really do. They're all seasoned musicians, and they know what they're doing. They do a great job.
And most of them longtime veterans of the band?
Yeah. Bobby Grimm, the banjo player, he and I started out in Gaslight Square back in the 60s. And the trombone player has been with every band, probably every Dixieland band in the world. In fact, he was with Turk Murphy out in California for a long time, and he also performed with Turk Murphy's band at Carnegie Hall when they had the big jazz festival there also. So he's quite a player. And our piano player from out in Arizona worked in Disneyland out there for almost 30 years as a musician. So these guys been around.
And I think that I spoke with your trumpet player for...
Steve Lilly.
Yeah, for another band that he was playing in that performed around here recently.
Right.
It was St. Louis something, and I can't
Stompers.
Remember. Yeah, that was it. Tell me about Red Lair's Powerhouse 5 and the Old St. Louis Levee Band.
Okay, well, the Old St. Louis Levee Band consisted of a trombone player, a drummer, and that goes back to the early, early days in the 70s, and we worked on the Robert E. Lee for a while, too. But this Powerhouse 5 is a new, within the last 3 years, a new group we put together, and we use our drummer from the Riverman. We use our piano player from the Riverman. We use our reed man, the clarinet player from the Riverman. And we also use myself. So there's five of us and Steve Lilly would be the trumpet player.
So it's essentially a subset of the
right.
Riverman.
Right, just an off-run. Because we do get quite a few jobs where people call up and say, I can't afford a 7-piece band right now, but if you have something like a 5-piece group that's a little more condensed, we'd like to have you for a weekend or for a week or whatever, you know. And it works out real good that way.
Well, it's a band of seasoned veterans that you all can go see.
We're really seasoned, all right, you betcha. We may be over-seasoned, I'm not sure. But between me and you, I think we still play great. And we know how to entertain people, and people come to hear us, and they leave feeling better than when they got there. So that's the main thing.
Well, you can go hear them 7 to 9 p.m. tomorrow night at Lincoln College on Keokuk Street in Lincoln, Illinois. St. Louis Rivermen. My guest has been David Red Lair. He's the director and the sousaphonist with the band, and I appreciate your spending the time to talk with us.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm glad to do it anytime. You know that. And we're looking forward to seeing the crowd up there, and I know we'll have a good time, and I know the weather will be great. Our Decatur Festival we play every year is in February, and if you've ever been to Decatur, Illinois in February and seen the weather there, you'll know why we're looking forward to coming to Lincoln in the summertime.
It's great to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, my pleasure. Thank you so much.
That tune was called What a Little Moonlight Can Do, and that clip, as well as all the other clips that we played, that I played during that interview, with Red Lair of the St. Louis Rivermen, is from their album called What a Little Moonlight Can Do. It's available on their website, and along with some other ones of theirs. Their website is stlrivermen.com, I believe, and they will be at Lincoln College tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our programs today are made possible with support from Blossom Basket Florists, with flowers, plants, and creations for all occasions, like weddings, birthdays, anniversaries, and Mother's Day on Sunday, May 13th. Two locations at Cunningham Avenue in Urbana and Village at the Crossing, Windsor and Duncan in Champaign. Online at blossombasket.com. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our next segment has to do with a concert this Saturday by the Danville Symphony Orchestra and quite a number of guests from the School of Music at the University of Illinois, primarily the opera program here. They're going to be doing a program called Carmen to Camelot, featuring music from the opera Carmen by Georges Bizet, and also a number of musicals by Lerner and Lowe. The concert is Saturday, 7:30, in the Dick Van Dyke Auditorium at Danville High School. I'll be talking with the fellow who's directing the show and the fellow who's narrating the show, and some highlights from some of those musicals, including this little bit from Lerner and Lowe's Paint Your Wagon. With apologies for the delay, that was music from the musical Paint Your Wagon, with text by Alan J. Lerner and music by Frederick Lowe. I do have that in the right order, don't I? Who wrote the text and who wrote the music. And that is one of the musicals that will be represented on Saturday's program by the Danville Symphony Orchestra, although that is not one of the tunes that will be sung. There are a couple of songs from Paint Your Wagon. There are a couple of songs from Brigadoon, a bunch of songs from My Fair Lady, as is appropriate, one from Camelot, and then a bunch of things from the opera Carmen. The program's called Carmen to Camelot. And Ronald Hedlund will be narrating. That sort of a return appearance for Ron in a similar capacity. I heard a concert, I don't know how many years ago it was now, where I think, Ron, five. It was a particular birthday of yours, yes, on that very day.
It was 5 years ago.
Was it? Wow.
To the day.
Really?
It was my birthday 5 years ago when we did that program.
And
when
you're doing it on your birthday again.
And then and again.
Are you going to be expecting another grand cake in that case?
I hope not.
Very creative cake. So Ron will be narrating and also singing one song on the program. Stephen Fiol is a multi-talented singer, director, administrator, of various levels, particularly at Millikan University, but he's also directed a lot of shows at University of Illinois School of Music, and it's from the U of I School of Music that all the singers are coming for this program. So thanks, gentlemen, very much for coming in.
Happy to be here.
Thank you.
So, Steve, for a symphony orchestra concert with sung highlights, what is the role of the director?
Well, the director is a traffic cop, in a sense, telling people how to get on and off and up onto the right. There's a chorus with this as well as a full orchestra. It's a way to bring a little bit of color and flavor to the audience, and you know, you have some props and you have some action. It has to be minimal. There's not a lot of room, but it's just a way to make it seem like it's not just a stand and deliver kind of experience.
Well, I know that the program that I saw, 5 years ago, featured Ron singing. Also, I think Justin Vickers, tenor, was on that program. Mm-hmm. Was there a third voice in that program?
Yes, Kay Welsh.
Kay Welsh was on that program. Yes. And you sort of strung things together, Ron, with spoken narration, and there were, I don't remember now, was that one all operatic, or was there also musical highlights in there?
No, there was no musical theater on that program. It was all operatic highlights. Yes.
So this is a nice twist.
Yeah.
How did the particular selections get chosen for this?
There were auditions. We had auditions back in January, was it?
The first round of auditions was in September, and then the second round in December.
Right. And there's also, I mean, it should be mentioned that the majority of the soloists are from the School of Music student body, but we also have Ricardo Herrera, who is going to be featured in both sections. He'll be singing the Toreador song from Carmen, and then Camelot, the title song, and also he will be doing The Rain in Spain.
Also from... My Fair Lady.
Mm-hmm.
That is a show that I don't think has anything remotely like a bad song in it.
I think you're right.
That's true.
It's part of the standard canon of musical theater.
I'm having a little trouble here finding, which is the reason we had the delay earlier, finding the right track of the music we want to play from Carmen coming up. So I'll let you introduce that particular segment. That's what's opening the program. Did this whole thing came as a package from a publisher of some kind. Did it come as Carmen to Camelot? So you do
exactly
a bunch of things?
Yes. And there's not a whole lot of logical reason why it necessarily would. I think they liked the CC combination. Carmen and Camelot seemed to be a nice ring. But it's delightful music that everybody knows, and I think it'll be. Very appealing.
Including, I think that I have queued up here the music we wanted to begin with, which will actually be the last segment, I think, of the Carmen portion of the show. And this is one that Ricardo Herrera will be performing.
Correct.
Famous Toreador song. What happens in the opera, what's happening in the opera that leads up to this?
At this point, they are all... All the gypsies are at the Lilas Pastia Tavern, and they're having a good time singing and dancing. And then there's this big commotion outside the tavern as the townspeople are coming along, and they are hailing the great Toreador, Escamillo. And so then he enters into the tavern and gathers the whole crowd around him and then proceeds to sing the Toreador song.
Escamillo sings,
yes.
And mm-hmm. in this case, this recording, Cheryl Milnes is Escamillo mm-hmm. With London Symphony led by Claudio Abbado, and Ricardo Herrera will be in that role on Saturday's concert with the Danville Symphony Orchestra.
Señor, señor, para de que saltar. Y de toreros, de sabate, por plaisir, il sol de robar. La sir que plaît ce jour de fête, la sir que plaît d'automar. Les spectateurs, perdant la tête, s'interpella pro franca apostrophe visait a page où c'est jusqu'aux à la fureur car c'est la fête du courant c'est la fête des gens de cœur allons, mon père allons, allons oh Oh
oui songe à combattre que d'un noir te regarde et que l'amour t'attend toréador l'amour, l'amour t'attend
se passe-t-il? Ride, cri céleste, ride, cri céleste, le taureau s'élance en bondissant, ornithorie. Il s'élance, il entre, il frappe, un cheval roule, entraînant à picador. Un brave taureau, hurle la foule, il vient, il frappe encore en sa course et barrille.
A little bit of one of the most famous segments from Georges Bizet's Carmen, with Cheryl Milnes singing the role of Escamillo in the Toreador song. And that'll be sung on Saturday with the Danville Symphony Orchestra by Ricardo Herrera of the University of Illinois School of Music Voice Department. He's one of the faculty members here. And he was going to be doing also some music from Camelot and from My Fair Lady. The other singers involved in Carmen are both students in the opera program.
Yes,
at U of I.
They are in the mostly graduate students, but there are some undergraduates as well.
One of the woman who I guess is playing the role of Carmen, although minimal stage business, I assume, mm-hmm. Is somebody who once played in my youth orchestra. Lila Kazum is just how I knew her. She goes by Lila Powell Kazum.
Correct.
One of those who won by audition. What can you tell us about Lila?
Well, Lila is a very talented senior. She's an undergraduate still. Has been singing and performing for a very long time in this community. I think she's probably familiar to many people around town for many years. But she's going to be singing all of the Carmen numbers, and I think that she, and along with her is Don Jose being played by John Gomez, who we've all heard on the opera stage as well for a number of performances, and they are quite wonderful.
I turned my own microphone down, sorry. I remember when Lila first mentioned that she was into singing, I said, well, what kind of singing? She said, opera. Oh, that's kind of unusual for a high school girl to aspire to, but she did quite quickly. And,
she's just excellent. I mean, I'm kind of amazed. She's just a senior. And she sings so well, and she looks so good on stage. She has a Carmen look to her.
Well, here's an excerpt that will be on the program. We don't have a recording of Lila doing it, of course, but we have one here with Teresa Berganza, and once again, the London Symphony led by Claudio Abbado. And also joined here, who is the character who joins with her in the duet?
Don Jose, that is John Gomez.
And it's the famous Seguidilla from Carmen here on Live and Local.
La 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 la
Seguidilla and duet between Carmen and Don José in this performance, Teresa Berganza and Plácido Domingo. And on Saturday's concert by the Danville Symphony Orchestra, you can hear Lila Powell-Kazum with John Gomez in those roles. In the Carmen segment in the program called Carmen de Camelot, concert starts at 7:30 at the Danville High School Auditorium. Programs on WYLL today are made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, inviting you to experience delicious specials, fair trade coffee, and your favorite treats at the Intermezzo Cafe. More information about upcoming events is at krannertcenter.com. My guests in this portion of Live and Local are Ronald Hedlund, who will be narrating the program with the Danville Symphony, and Stephen Fiol, who is essentially the stage director, or as he said, the traffic cop for this particular production. And Carmen de Camelot, there's the Carmen segment that begins, and then there's four shows from the wonderfully successful combination of Alan J. Lerner and Frederick Lowe, their various musicals, including Camelot. And I want to say that along with My Fair Lady, that's another show that hardly has a bad song in it. There's one, in my opinion, but other than that, some really great songs. And it's sort of too bad that this particular package that came from the publisher only has one of those songs, which seems a little bit striking, which Ricardo Herrera will also be singing.
Correct.
You mentioned to me while we were listening to that music, Steve, that Camelot, the musical, was actually written during the John F. Kennedy era.
Yes, it was highly popular, and it became sort of a thematic. It's sort of it's Ronald Reagan's City on the Hill, I can't remember what these presidents all picked. Sort of a marching theme, and his was Camelot.
Kennedy's
was Camelot, mm-hmm. And I think Ron knows more about that than I do.
Yes, in my narration, I have a note that. Americans do equate this idea of Camelot with the late President Kennedy. And his widow, Jacqueline Kennedy, is quoted as saying that Jack liked to listen to recordings before going to sleep at night. And the song he liked the most came at the end of a certain recording, and the lines were, "Don't let it be forgot that once there was a spot for one brief shining moment that was known as Camelot."
Which is the very, very end of the musical. It's after
correct.
Everything just breaks down.
That's right, yes.
And it's funny that should be something that he would pick to end his day with because, his Camelot crumbled, obviously, or that Camelot crumbled as well.
Right.
But some wonderful music along the way. Here's the first version of Camelot, meaning the when it first shows up. In fact, when Arthur, I guess it's when Guinevere is showing up at Camelot, she encounters Arthur without knowing that that's who she's encountering,
correct.
If I recall things. Okay. And this will be sung by Ricardo Herrera, but here we have it from the original Broadway cast recording, somebody we don't normally think of as a singer, Richard Burton, on Live and Local.
It's true. It's true. The Crown has made it clear. The climate must be perfect all the year. A law was made a distant moon ago here. For happily ever aftering than here in Camelot.
Oh, I have to say, I personally love the way Richard Burton does that song. There's some wonderful, wonderful actors and singers in the original Broadway cast of Camelot. Richard Burton, of course, as King Arthur, Julie Andrews, as Guinevere, and the inimitable Robert Goulet in the role of Lancelot, which I think is a role he was probably born to play, because as I understood it, he was more or less playing to his own character, at least somewhat.
I think so.
As I recall. That song will be on the concert by the Danville Symphony Orchestra. Jeremy Swirling is music director, by the way. He'll be conducting the concert. Carmen the Camelot is the name of the program. Starts at 7:30 at the high school auditorium. And Ron Hedlund narrating, Stephen Fiol directing the show. Brigadoon is another of the Lerner and Lowe musicals represented on the program. I remember being in that. I was not in the show, but I was played in the pit orchestra of the show when I was in high school, probably younger than high school. And I remember falling in love with the girl who, she probably was a girl at the time, but I thought she was, you know, old and older and beautiful and to be admired, who played Fiona. Until I discovered she was a smoker, and I thought, ew, I don't like her so much anymore. But this is one of my childhood memories every time I think of Brigadoon. But there's some wonderful music in here.
There is.
Remind us of the story of Brigadoon.
Oh, it's two young fellows, Tommy and Jeff, who are from New York, and they head over to Scotland on a hunting trip, and they stumble across this mythical town of Brigadoon, which is assigned to have gone to sleep but come alive only one day every 100 years. And if anybody leaves the community, the spell is broken. And of course, Tommy falls in love with Fiona, and so therein lies the dilemma, and you're gonna have to come see the show when it is performed in its completeness. I can't go on with the story or it'll spoil the ending.
But you're not doing the whole show.
No, we aren't. No, what is the number you're selecting from this?
Well, I'm trying to find it. I thought I had found it. It's almost like being in love. It's
almost like
being
in love.
One of the most wonderful.
And this is where Tommy and Fiona have had a wonderful day running through the heather. They have fallen in love, but they're just deciding whether they can admit it or not. So they say it's almost like being in love.
Maybe the sun gave me the power, for I could swim Loch Lomond. I was falling, it's almost like being in love.
Back when Broadway actors could actually sing. Oops, did I make that editorial comment? I don't know if this was the original cast or not. It doesn't really say. It comes from a compilation here. It's called The Only Broadway CD You'll Ever Need, but it comes from Brigadoon. David Brooks and Marion Bell performing the song Almost Like Being in Love, and that'll be sung by Tanya Combs and Philip Gay, both of them in the opera program at University of Illinois, both students there. Not least saved for last, all the wonderful songs from My Fair Lady will be on that concert by the Danville Symphony Orchestra. Jeremy Swirling conducting, Ron Hedlund narrating, Steve Fiol directing, and some choreography as well by Steve's wife, Rebecca Nettle Fiol. And how does one get tickets for this show, Ron?
Yes, the Danville High School is at 202 East Fairchild in Danville, 202 East Fairchild, and you can call the office, the Danville Symphony office, at 217-443-5300, or you can contact them through the internet at www.danvillesymphony.org. And their tickets, the office is open on Monday through Thursday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Now, the Danville Symphony Auditorium, the Danville High School Auditorium, is a beautiful auditorium, and it holds about 1,300 seats. And they have a nice balcony area, too. And so I'm hoping that there will be also people that will not call, but they will just come over and walk in and get tickets.
Sure.
I'm hoping for that.
Well, when I saw your show 5 years ago, it was a virtual sellout, as
yes,
I recall.
Yes, it was, yeah.
Danville Symphony gets a great following, and it's a wonderful program. Thank you all very much for putting it together, first of all.
It's our pleasure.
And then for coming in to talk us about it. We're going to go out in a moment with some music from My Fair Lady. It's I could have danced all night, and I'm trying to remember exactly what has happened to lead up to that. Help us out here.
Go ahead, Steve. I could have danced all night comes out of Eliza has gone to the ball, having been the experiment of Henry Higgins, to get her speech and her actions up to snuff to be introduced into the elite crowd, and she goes to the ball and she passes muster beautifully. She is thought to be a Hungarian princess. And she dances throughout the ball, and she comes back to her room, and she is supposed to go to sleep, and she says, "There is no way I can go to sleep. I could have danced all night."
And we are going to hear the marvelous, gorgeous, stupendous Julie Andrews in the role of Eliza Doolittle from My Fair Lady.
Bed, my head's too light to try to sit it down. Sleep, sleep, I couldn't sleep tonight, not for all the dance with me. I could have danced, danced, danced all night.
It's all green now, don't you agree?
You're listening to 90.9 WYLFM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and more for Central Illinois. WYL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois, and we have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available at thecorkscrew.com. On tomorrow's Live and Local, we'll have a live performance by the Chris Bate Jazz Quintet, I think it is, in advance of his performance at the Iron Post.
Began to dance with me. I could have danced, danced, danced all night.
I understand, dear. It's all been grand, dear. But now it's time to sleep.